just one verse with the lamp going out here from Exodus chapter 27. I think it's good to see, to follow up on your point, Tim. Verse 20 in chapter 27. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, outside the curtain that is in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. So we see the people were beginning to abandon, as you said, the truth and what it is that God wanted them to do. And again, we see that pictured by the blurred vision that Eli had.
So the thought here is that the light was never to go out. And I want to tell you, young people, that because the Lord Jesus, in New Testament language, is the light will never go out. The testimony of God is sure. It will remain. But the thought here is that it was a very, very, very dark day, that the people of God and the priesthood had failed so, miserably, to the point that it seemed from a natural standpoint that the light was ready to go out. But I think it's important to note that it says, before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. You see, the ark of God is the testimony. It is the presence of God. And at your leisure, you should go and look at the thought of the Ark of Covenant, the Ark of God. It was where God would come. His presence would be realized in a very real way. And it gave the thought that God was in this place. So God was going to maintain, and he does even in this day, he maintains his testimony. But look where Samuel is. Before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laying down to sleep. And my understanding is that it was there by the ark of God that Samuel was laying to sleep. And it says that the Lord called Samuel. You see, where do we need to be? We need to be where the ark of God is. There could be all of the darkness around us, young people, and we've talked about this enough. But where you and I need to be is where the Lord is. And one of the other things that we need to understand, not just separation from the world, Brother Chuck said, separation unto God. Where is he? Where does he place his name? Where's the people of God gathered together? And I want to encourage young people. When we have prayer meeting, where are we? When we have the study of God's word in the local assembly, I can tell you this, in our meeting, it's almost like a trend line. On Lord's Day, everybody and their mother and grandmother shows up, young people show up, and you got a full house. Prayer meeting night, you start to see less people. By the time you get to the study of God's word, you could lay down in the benches if you want. But I want to challenge you, young people, that if you want to be like Samuel, one who God was going to raise up, who was faithful, one who was a man of prayer, you must find yourself where the ark of God is. It is where Christ names himself in the assembly. That is where you'll be able to grow. That is where you'll be able to receive encouragement. And the associations that you will have will be with like-minded believers who find their place around the Lord as well.
Let me just go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to go off what you said, Brother Tony, just for a second, and what my father said a few moments ago. Before we see about the lamp going out, we read about Eli and his eyes. And he's not the only one, old man, whose eyes we read about. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7, we read of Moses' eyes. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, but his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Mm-hmm. Eli's eyes weren't going dim because he was getting old. They were going dim because he lost sight of what he was, lost sight of the Lord. But just going off of what you were saying, Brother Tony, about separating from the world and to God, we talked about our devotions last night, about whose standard Samuel was living by. If he was living by, he didn't have to do much to be better than the people who were around him. He was living with Eli and Hophni and Phinehas pretty much as long as he wasn't committing adultery with the woman in front of the tabernacle. He was better than them, a lot better than them. And we talked about, for us too, as long as, you know, we don't say curse words, that we're pretty much better than most of the people in this world. It doesn't take much to be better than people of this world. But that's not what we're striving for, not to be better than this world. But we're striving to be as near as we can to God. And so it's not by man's standards that we're supposed to live, but rather by God's.
Let me just stop us with on this mountaintop, because this is where we are. How is it that I can find myself to be a part of that testimony that our Lord is always going to maintain until he comes? There's a way. The way is right in the chapter that we're in. And it's in the very words that Samuel echoed in verse 10. Then Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, I want to know. Speak, I'm your servant. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be in submission to you. I want to honor you. I want to have your word." This was the secret of the life of Samuel. If there's ever one part, if we come to the New Testament, we listen to Paul. And Paul says on the day of his conversion, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I put this verse right here, just beside it in the Old Testament. "Lord, speak. I'm your servant." And when these are the words that are echoing not from our lips so much as from our heart, we will find that we will know what it means to be honored by the Lord. "Them that honor me." I hope if you leave this reading with something today, that you leave it with these thoughts before you, that the Lord has said to you, dear young person, "If you honor me in your life, I give you my word, I will honor you."